Chapter 2. The Marketplace. On a summer morning about 2 centuries ago, the grass plot in front of the jail in Prison Lane was occupied by a large number of Bostonians. Their eyes were fixed on the old oak door. Their faces were grim and rigid. Every time there was such a group of people in front of the jail, there was usually a whipping of a disobedient child, a lazy bond servant, a Quaker, or a turbulent Indian. It could also have been the hanging of a witch. The spectators looked very solemn and severe, as was typical of people who believed that religion and law were almost identical. There was practically no sympathy from the crowd for the condemned individual. What we would consider a small offense today was then punished very harshly, even with death itself. The women in the crowd were particularly interested in what was about to happen. They were wives and maidens of English birth. Their features were hard, their expressions bitter.
"Good wives,"
said a severe-looking woman of 50.
"We should be the ones to judge the evil doings of this Hester Prynne, since we are women of mature age and church members of good repute. What do you all think? If the hussy were judged by us five, would she receive the same sentence as the magistrates have decided on? I think not."
"People say,"
said another woman,
"that the Reverend Master Dimmesdale, her pastor, is very upset that such a scandal has fallen upon his congregation."
"The magistrates are God-fearing gentlemen, but they are too generous. That is the truth,"
added a third older woman.
"At the very least, they should have put the brand of a hot iron on Hester Prynne's forehead. Madam Hester would have winced at that, I am sure. But little will she care what they put on her dress. She could cover it with a brooch, and then walk the streets as proud as ever."
"But even if she covers the mark, the pain will always be in her heart,"
said a soft-spoken young wife, holding a child by hand.
"Goodness!"
exclaimed a man in the crowd.
"Is there no virtue in a woman except for what comes from the fear of punishment? Quiet now! The lock of the prison door is turning, and here comes Mistress Prynne herself."
The door of the jail was thrown open, and there appeared the grim, threatening figure of the town beadle. He was like a black shadow emerging into the sunshine. He had a sword by his side and carried a staff of office. His aspect represented the extreme severity of the Puritan code of law. He stretched out the official staff in his left hand and laid his right hand on the young woman's shoulder, pulling her forward. Once they had reached the prison door, she pushed his hand away from her shoulder. This action marked her natural dignity and force of character. She stepped out into the open air of her own free will. In her arms, she carried an infant of about 3 months. When the young woman, the mother of the child, stood before the crowd, her first impulse was to hold the infant close to her chest, as if to hide something that was fastened to her dress. After a moment, however, she realized that she was using her child, the living sign of her shame, to hide another sign of shame. Therefore, she put the child on her arm, and with a burning blush and an arrogant smile, she looked straight at her townspeople. On the breast of her dress, in fine red cloth, surrounded with elaborate designs in gold thread, appeared the letter A. It was so artistically done that it looked like a lovely decoration on her dress. The young woman was tall, with a perfectly elegant body. She had thick, dark hair that reflected the sunshine. Her face was beautifully regular, and her complexion was rich in color. She had a marked brow and deep black eyes. She was ladylike, too. She had a certain gentle dignity about her. She radiated a painful but beautiful light. The point which drew all eyes was the scarlet letter, so fantastically embroidered, which illuminated her. It had the effect of a spell, taking her out of the ordinary relations with humanity and enclosing her in a sphere by herself.
She's very skilled with her needle,
remarked one of the female spectators.
But only a brazen hussy could show her skill in this manner. This is her way of laughing at the magistrates and making the punishment something to be proud of.
Oh, peace, neighbors, peace,
whispered their youngest companion.
Don't let her hear you.
Make way,
cried the beadle.
Open a passage, and I promise you that every man, woman, and child will be able to look at Mistress Prynne and her apparel from now until 1 o'clock. A blessing on the colony of Massachusetts, where injustice and wickedness are dragged out into the sunshine. Come along, Madam Hester, and show your scarlet letter in the marketplace.
Hester Prynne walked toward the place of her punishment. A crowd of curious schoolboys ran in front of her, turning their heads to look at her face and at the humiliating letter on her breast. It was as though her heart had been thrown out into the street for the spectators to walk on. However, no one could see her inner agony, and she walked serenely to the scaffold. The scaffold was the platform of the pillory, that horrid instrument of discipline that confines the human head in its tight grip and exposes it to the world. Hester Prynne was not condemned to the pillory. She was condemned to stand on the scaffold for everyone to look at. It was intolerable. The governor, several councillors, a judge, a general, and the ministers of the town were all at the balcony of the meeting house, looking down on the platform. As she stood on the scaffold, vivid memories of her childhood flashed through her mind. She remembered her school days and her years as a young girl. These memories made her forget, for a few instants, the brutal reality of the present. She remembered her native village in England and her paternal home, a decayed house of gray stone with a poverty-stricken aspect. She saw her father's face and her mother's, too. She saw her own face, alive with the happiness and beauty of youth. Then she remembered another face, the face of a man troubled by his years, the pale, thin face of a scholar, with dull eyes that had toiled over many books. Yet those tired eyes had a strange, penetrating power to read the human soul. Hester also remembered his slight deformity. His left shoulder was a bit higher than the right. Suddenly, Hester's mind returned to the present, to the marketplace of the Puritan settlement, with all the townspeople looking at her infant, and at the scarlet letter. This was her new reality.